Well, on the phone with us this morning is Joel Kilgore, and he is with the Loaves and Fishes community. He has been instrumental in organizing the Housing for All Summit, and he's one of the folks that we talk to when the issue of homelessness comes up. Joel, hey, good morning, and thanks so much for joining us.
Good morning, Lisa.
Nice to have you with us. So the Housing for All Summit was held at the end of May, and it was significant because back in February of 2007, St. Louis County issued the 10-year plan to end homelessness. And actually, the work had begun 2 years before that, to create an End Homelessness in 10 committee and put together the action steps to end homelessness in 10 years. And I certainly don't want to scoop the interview, Joel, but I don't think we've ended homelessness in 10 years. What happened?
No, we certainly haven't. Well, maybe it was an ambitious title, overly ambitious title for that project. The crisis of homelessness in our country is a relatively new phenomenon. Prior to the late 70s and early 80s, there was a long period of time where homelessness was a pretty marginal reality for a very small number of people. And then all of a sudden, it exploded. And the crisis has really been getting worse, and especially in communities like Duluth, where there's relatively low wages compared to the cost of rent, where there's an aging housing stock. What we've seen is that over time, there's fewer and fewer options for people for housing. And so, it's a monumental challenge to address that. There are national and international factors at play in the economy. We did see some progress in Minnesota and even across the country until we hit the Great Recession, and that kind of set us back a ways. I would say that the original 10-year plan to end homelessness was a really good community process. It was very thoughtful and engaged a lot of voices, and there were some significant successes that came out of that. But what happened is that the plan kind of ended up, after a few years, getting dusty on the shelf. So the idea behind the summit, and we're in our fifth year now, is to revitalize that original energy, that community energy that came with the summit, recognizing that housing insecurity is something that affects a lot of people in our community. A majority of renters in Duluth are paying more than they can afford for rent. A significant number of homeowners are also paying more than they can afford. So we're not just talking about the numbers of folks, and there are a lot of them who are experiencing homelessness, but there's thousands of people in our community for whom housing insecurity is a real issue. And in order to create solutions, we need to bring all those voices to the table, especially the people who are personally affected. So the summit is a chance for anyone who cares about this issue. So it includes elected officials, it includes social service providers, law enforcement, landlords, but also just everyday folks who are struggling to pay for housing or maintain housing, to come together and craft community solutions.
Joel, I would imagine that one of the challenges of this, at least up until now, perhaps, is that if you are housing insecure or if you're experiencing homelessness, you may or may not have the time or the energy to sit on committees, to sit on boards, to try to engage and drive change. You've got some real fundamental and significant issues that you need to be worried about. How can we help plans, processes from, in your words, becoming dusty on the shelf when the people most affected by some of these things are really not in a position to spearhead the change?
Yeah, I agree with you. That's a significant challenge. And we've done everything that we can at the summit to make the event accessible by providing transportation and food and child care. We recognize that people who show up at the summit may not have the time and energy to sit on committees for months and months, but their input is really valuable. So we're hoping that at least that one moment in time, once a year, that we can gather that input and then engage community advocates who are maybe in a better position to work for change to continue that process throughout the year. Yeah, I mean, this is what you're raising is the problem that all community organizers have across time.
Well, one of the things that is sort of magical is that there's no energy like the energy of someone, for example, who has experienced something, a significant challenge, a significant crisis in their life, and come through on the other side. And the folks that have managed to somehow escape homelessness or get in a better position with housing security are people who are, by the same token, some of your most valuable resources and active supporters and loudest voices and most energetic volunteers.
Absolutely.
So what's
yeah,
going to... Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just saying, not only... Well, we strive to have a high participation of people in the community who are housing insecure at the summit. So this year we had about 150 participants, and around a third of them had personally experienced homelessness or came close to homelessness. So those voices are important. But then I also say that the leadership for planning the summit and continuing the work is, like you said, often been taken up by people who have personally experienced homelessness and maybe are in a better position in their lives right now.
How can people and how can you as organizers engage and involve people maybe who have not experienced homelessness, but people who do have a sense of responsibility toward their fellow citizens and people who maybe say, there but for the grace of God and I would definitely like to do something to help. What's your approach to try to involve them in the process?
Well, two things. One is I think stories are really important, hearing directly from people who are experiencing homelessness and housing insecurity. You know, there's a lot of stigma and a lot of stereotypes that go with that. To be able to step back from the label of homeless for a second and be able to hear the story of, Andy or Barb, and as human beings, as folks that you can maybe relate to have had similar experiences, to understand how they got to where they're at and what kind of support they need to get out of it. I think those stories are really important. So getting those stories into the community, sharing them in public spaces, sharing them at city council meetings and faith communities, so that we can educate one another and have better empathy and understanding of the problem. The second thing is I think the problem of homelessness and housing insecurity is so huge that it's overwhelming, really, to look at. And not only is the crisis huge, but the solutions, the people who are talking about the lingo around it, all the acronyms of organizations and federal funding streams just don't make sense if you're not in that world. So one thing that we seek to do with the summit every year is to come up with two or three concrete, measurable solutions, things that we can do as a community to make life better, and to really focus and organize around that. And I think that's key to engaging the community.
Well, we sent our KUMD news team to the summit, and we'll have some stories from them as the summer wears on. We'll have some of the stories that they discovered, and they'll be sharing some of the conversations that they had and they recorded. Joel, there is a follow-up to the summit. Is that meeting being held today? Am I correct?
Actually, it was last night.
It was last night. Yeah, see how I am. So let me ask you then, with that in mind, what the concrete, measurable goals or solutions were that you've come up with going forward, so that we can maybe have a conversation with you about that in 6 months, for example.
Sure. And can I say before I talk about this year that the summit has in past years really. This isn't just a group of people talking. We've come up with some action steps that have become reality. So, for instance, the tenant-landlord connection, which is now open. It's a free, neutral resource for landlords and for tenants to go for legal advice. For advice on tenant law, and also mediation They've successfully prevented many, many evictions. And so that was something, that was an idea that came from the community at the summit and is now a reality and a living program that anyone in our community can access. And we've had a number of successes like that over the years. This year, what we did was we focused on two past issues that are still kind of in the works, one being the Homeless Bill of Rights in Duluth, which has made some steady progress but hasn't actually been written into law yet. And we also discussed an idea from the last year's summit, which is to create an annual renewable trust fund that developers and homeowners, landlords can draw on to develop and maintain affordable housing in our community. We crunched some numbers and figured out that over the last 20 years, Duluth has lost $3 million annually, adjusted for inflation, in federal housing dollars, and we're looking at losing more. So while we maybe can't rely on the federal government anymore, that means we need to look at some local solutions. So finding a source for those funds to develop and maintain affordable housing was a key focus of this year's summit. The other two the topic areas that came up this year were quality of affordable housing. So recognizing that on the lower end of the spectrum, there are a lot of substandard units, and how do we deal with that? So the group that discussed that issue came up with an idea of maybe like a Gold Star landlord program where landlords could be incentivized to keep their units in good shape and to rent to people with lower incomes. So, I mean, that's kind of the kernel of an idea of
right,
action
right.
there. And then the second topic area that we discussed was housing choice. So recognizing that in our community, if you have money, you can choose to live in any neighborhood that you want. If you don't have money, you have really limited options. And really for the health of the community, diverse neighborhoods are important. And it's really important for people, no matter what your income is, to be able to choose a neighborhood that works best for your family. So how do we address that? How do we open up and develop more affordable housing in other neighborhoods? And the group that discussed that, they realized that the biggest barrier to making that happen is public education, like the stereotypes that I talked about earlier about affordable housing and people who need it are huge. And so to really engage local neighborhoods and communities on the need to diversify their communities, the benefits that come along with that, to demystify affordable housing. So developing a public education campaign is one of the ideas that came out of the summit this year.
Joel, it's always fascinating to talk with you, and there are always so many more conversations that need to happen. We finish one, and about five or six more come up. But thanks so much for joining us this morning. It's always great to talk with you, and we'll be talking again soon.
All right. Thank you, Lisa.
Joel Kilgore this morning with the Loaves and Fishes Community, a follow-up to last month's housing summit as the community continues to struggle with the issue of the precarious nature of housing and housing insecurity here in the Northland.